You're listening to Health Lifelines, a podcast brought to you by The Lifeguard Approach, your trusted source for insights, solutions, and training that empower you to become a lifeguard for your patient's health and well-being. Good morning, listeners. This is Chris Duvall with Health Lifelines podcast, and I am so excited to introduce you to Dr. Simi Chopra today. She has a very unique path of how she moves patients from disease to healing. And so I'm anxious primarily to just give her the lead and let her talk this morning about how that transformation happens. And so welcome, Dr. Chopra.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure being here.
Great. So tell me a little bit about where you're from.
Sure. So I'm originally from India, and I moved around 30 years back to New York. So before I got into Ayurveda, I was studying molecular biology and biostatistics. So it has been quite a journey for me to get into Ayurveda, because when I was in school, so in India, how it works is that after 12th grade, you give exams to get into medical schools. So I got into Ayurveda in the medical system in India, but I chose to follow this molecular biology path. And then after I moved to US, and when my daughter was born and she was having some little bit of problems, that is when I moved back to learning Ayurveda. And then there was no looking back. And there's a beautiful saying there which says that you don't choose Ayurveda, but Ayurveda chooses you. So that has been very true for me, because I kind of rejected it that time, but it wasn't, I think, the right time for me that time. So yeah, so since then I've been practicing since I finished my doctor program, I've been practicing in New York City at Sidh Ayur. That's my company. And I've been trying to help clients with chronic issues, allergies, hormonal imbalance, and name anything. So it's been a journey.
Yes, that's an interesting journey. And you must have been, something was kind of calling you or persistently bringing this up in your heart and your mind, because something must not have been working in what you were trained to do. Is that a fair statement to say in the past?
Yes, I think you're right. Though I must say that I was always in tune with Ayurveda. So back in India also, I'll give you a small story about me. I used to have severe chronic sinusitis. So back when I was studying in college, and I was living on antihistamines daily, and it used to make me drowsy. It was not conducive to study while being drowsy. So finally, I went to my hometown, and the Ved, we call them Ved in other Ayurvedic doctors back in India. So he did a therapy, which is called Nasya, for 7 days. So where they put herbal decoctions or herbal oils. In my case, they put Tulsi Swara. So basically, it's Tulsi juice. Since then, it's been like now, 35, 40 years or so. And I've never, touch wood, I've never had sinus issues. And it was severe, it was really chronic. So I always was geared towards Ayurveda since I was little. I used to have chronic cough. Again, through Ayurveda, it was fixed. But you know how molecular biology is also very interesting. So it was very interesting. That time it was the hot topic. So I wanted to study that. And it's actually nothing, you know how we say, whatever you learn, you'll always use it sometime in your life. So even now, I like to integrate both the fields where I understand it from the, you know, the biochemical, the molecular, the genetics, everything of that particular problem. So it becomes a nice blend.
I love how you've blended those two, the ancient healing wisdom of Ayurveda and then the modern science. Would you talk about your personal healing journey from some things that you had to battle and then embracing panchakarma? Can you tell us about that as
Sure,
well?
sure. So yes, a few years back, I was diagnosed with cancer. So I did an integrated approach where I got the cancer removed, but I refused. I did not do the chemotherapy. I just refused. I knew my body will not handle it. So, and I had so much faith in Ayurveda. So I went ahead and did Panchkarma, which is a very intense detox. It's like 5 to 6 weeks process where it's like a month where we kind of prepare our body, and then where we fix our digestion, and majority of the time any health issue that happens is because we have a weak digestive system, a weak digestive, we call it fire. Agni, we call it. Agni translates into fire. So we have a weak digestion, which leads to whatever we're eating, we don't digest properly, and it leads to ama, we call it, which is, you can loosely say it's toxins. So when the toxins build up, they can appear in the form of a rash on your skin, or maybe arthritis in the joints, or whatever the problem is. So for me, after that, I mean, I did take the tamoxifen, which is like a chemo drug. For just a month, and it gave me severe problems. So I had rashes, like ulcers all over my body, and I could not keep food inside me. So at that time, I was like, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to do my Panchkarma. So I prepared my body, increased my digestion, removed the toxins. So that was the preparing the body. And then it's like a 8 days to 10 days, which is the actual Panchkarma, where we intake medicated herbal ghee according to your problem. And then there's five, you can say, therapies that is done to remove the toxins out of the body. So that
Okay.
ghee brings all the toxins to your gut. And then these five treatments, depending on, again, what is the problem, we remove the toxins, either through purgation or either through medicated enemas or through emesis. So there are a lot of other ways to do it. So that's how I kind of fixed my gut issues and rashes and all that was going on. And they were after, you know, after because of the chemotherapy that I had refused. So I had to kind of blend, I had to take in herbs and all to kind of compensate it.
Is the panchakarma, is it very much associated with the gut microbiome that we talk about today?
Microbiome, yes, it is going to, because it resets your gut. Panchkarma, it resets your gut. So in that case, in that way, yes, it is going to fix your microbiome. But I have to say that Panchkarma, when people come to me for my clients, I try to discourage them to do it. Because it's I said it's a 6 weeks thing, but it's actually like a 3 months, you know, before you have to be careful. After the Panchkarma, you have to be very careful about the food, because your gut has reset. So like, and then if you immediately start eating any kind of food that, you know, like pizza or some, or those kind of heavy food, it's going to be a problem. But yes, to your question, it does build your microbiome. And, but there are other, very simple things that a person can do to build a good microbiome. So there's homemade buttermilk. If people can just introduce that in their life once a day. Usually I try to tell my clients around a midday, around 10, 11 a.m. Just make a buttermilk, which is the recipe is given on my website also. Just taking a 1 to 2 teaspoon of yogurt and 1 glass of water, and then just blend it. Churn it with salt and cumin powder and all. So that helps your good bacteria to become more and balance your microbiome.
Very, very interesting, and I like that. It just seems so much more natural than putting all those chemicals and things that are not designed to heal us, that's for sure.
Totally. I mean, I even for my children and my clients, I don't recommend the probiotics that are found on the, over the counter. I just tell them to do the buttermilk, and that really helps. And you get so used to, your body kind of craves it. So I just had buttermilk before starting this.
So, the ingredients into the buttermilk are on your website.
Yes.
That would be, I will de definitely check that out. So, tell me also, what we hear so much today is about our fast-paced world and where stress and burnout are everyday companions with most of us. So, how do you bring those Ayurvedic principles into small, sustainable shifts that people can actually live by?
So, in the last few years, Ayurveda has become quite popular in the West. And mainly, I've seen people who have the time are able to follow the Ayurvedic principles very beautifully. The main principle is to have a rhythm, be in sync with nature. So, follow the Ayurvedic clock where you wake up at a certain time, eat at a certain time, your heaviest meal should be at lunch, light food in the breakfast and dinner. And sleep for 7 8 hours, which, anyways, everyone says, even the Western mainstream medicine also says the same thing. But the problem is for people who are busy, who are in the corporate world, they are nonstop, they are shuttling meetings and they're traveling, college students who have a lot of projects due. So for all these people, it becomes very difficult for them to just to tell them to follow the Ayurvedic clock because it's not going to work for them. If they have three projects due the next day, they are going to sleep very late. Maybe they are sleeping only for 3 4 hours, so which becomes an issue. So what I suggest to those people is Ayurveda stands on three pillars. One is food, second is sleep. So sleep is a must, but I tell them if they can sleep between the hours of 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. That is the time when there's internal repair happening, internal transformations. It's the pitta time. It's the night pitta time when all the transformations, all the memories that you have, it gets all, the junk is removed. So your liver is detoxifying. So I tell them to wake up early, at least get that 4 hours sleep at least. So that is one. So that is the one of the pillar. The second is food. So in food, people are eager to add things, add some superfood, add lots of fermented foods and all. But problem is, one has to eat according to what is imbalanced in them. So if there's an imbalance of these, we call them doshas. It can be, you can call them anything you want. It's like, it's the principle behind it. If you have a lot of heat in your body, so you should be avoiding certain things. So I tell them rather than add things, initially avoid a few things according to what is imbalanced in you. So for that, to find out what is imbalanced, it's best to come to an Ayurvedic practitioner so that they can tell you what is imbalanced and what foods to avoid. So like for example, I'll give you for so a person, let's say, that has a lot of heat in the body, so they might have issues like acidity or rashes on their skin. They're prone to all these things. So for them, the best thing is to remove spicy food, sour foods, very fermented foods. These days, a lot of people are having too much of kimchi. It is good, but in a small quantity. So these kind of people, for them, the pitta is imbalanced. Then there are a few people who are prone to dryness or aches and pains. For them, the vata energy is imbalanced. So for them, I'll tell them not to have too much cold, like cold water, ice cold water, raw salads, smoothies. Though those two things I tell all my clients not to have. So it's for people who are in a rush, At least if they can avoid a few things, so that will start helping them, their gut. Introduce digestivities according to your imbalance again. So all these things, even if they are in a, they are traveling or they are back-to-back meeting, they can always grab digestive teas and sip on those. That will keep helping their gut. So that was the second thing, which is the pillar of Ayurveda. The third is, it's called Brahmacharya. So the literal translation is celibacy, but we are not talking about just control over, just be celibate, but it's about control of the senses. So here we these days, we are doing too much excess of screen time. So excess of the five senses, too much of misuse we are doing. So if we are able to control those five senses, if we are, and how can we do that? Because once we control those senses, we are also working on our mind. So if we see the senses are the gateways to the mind. So sense organs, they are the portal between the inner world and the outer world. So, we are seeing through our eyes, we are smelling through our nose, all these five senses, if we can just take care of them. So people who are very busy to take control, I mean, to calm their mind. It's very easy for us to tell them, don't stress, but everyone is stressed these days. For them to tell them, and how do you deal with stress? To do meditation, to do breathing exercises and all. But when a person is so short of time and they are not able to focus, meditation also doesn't happen for them. So for them, I'm telling them to just take care of their five senses. So there are these therapies in Ayurveda where if for each senses, there are different therapies. If we take care of those, if we are able to do that, and one can do it at home and it takes just 2 minutes, and I'll describe a few of them. Through that, you can take care of your senses, which in turn takes care of your mind. And there are studies which have shown that whenever your, let's say, your sense of smell or sense of taste, which is affected, your, they are more prone to dementia. So there's the modern science has been studying that. So and the neurotransmitters are affected. So just let's say, when we just see food, let's for example, sometimes even just the thought of food, our mouth starts watering. And just tasting food, we are sometimes we the memory starts triggering. You sometimes it's associated with happy memories, sometimes with sad memories. So just by tasting food that can happen. So your memory gets triggered. So the neurotransmitters are released there. So it's nothing is like separate. So there's a very simple therapy which these days has become very popular called oil pulling. We call it gandusha. It's actually more like holding the oil in your mouth. So after brushing your teeth, just take sesame oil and hold it in your mouth for 2 minutes, and then just spit it out, not in preferably in a trash can, so that your drains don't clog. So all what is that doing is there are nerves and blood vessels in your gums, in your mucus lining inside the mouth. So through that, the herbs are going and removing any blockages or any inflammation, and then balancing the neurotransmitters. So the right neurotransmitters like your dopamine, oxytocin, all those will be released. So when you have a happy mind, you are able to handle the stress. So these are very small therapies for mouth. It's this gandusha that I was talking about. For nose, that there's nasya, just 2 drops of, you can just use sesame oil or ghee, just plain ghee, in each nostril. So all this, especially nasya, is such a powerful therapy. And people can do it at home unless they are very congested. And that helps balance the hormones. It helps balance the neurotransmitters. So there are these small therapies which I tell my clients to do who are very busy, who can't follow the Ayurvedic clock and do the proper rhythm. So this is how they can do these small changes in their life.
How do you talk about the Ayurvedic clock on your website?
Not on my website. I haven't actually. There's a blog there, but on my YouTube, I have a YouTube channel as well
Okay.
as Instagram. And in both of them, in YouTube, there's an elaborate way I've explained Ayurvedic clock, how it works. So yeah, it's given there properly.
Perfect. I think that's really important. How do you determine which of your five senses are out of balance? Do you do medical testing? Do you just look at the bot? Tell me about that.
Sure. I mean, there's no test as per se for, but just by questioning them, analyzing them, feeling the pulse. So there are different ways how we can figure out what is imbalanced in a person. And if people are themselves complaining about some problems, just stress, let's say they're just having too much stress. So then these are some therapies which they can just incorporate. So the testing is not done like a hearing test or something, but if by questioning, by analyzing, we are able to figure that out.
That's awesome. You're listening to Health Lifelines, a podcast brought to you by the LifeGuard Approach, your trusted source for insights, solutions, and training that empower you to become a lifeguard for your patients' health and well-being. This episode is just a taste of the strategies and stories we will share to help you and your patients live longer, healthier lives. If you're enjoying the content, make sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. As a reminder, this podcast and the opinions expressed here are not a medical diagnosis. And don't forget to explore our additional resources, tools, exclusive content, courses, and coaching solutions from the Lifeguard Approach by visiting our website at thelifeguardapproach.com. And now let's jump back into today's episode. Tell me about how Ayurveda and what you do can benefit children. You mentioned that you have children.
Yes.
So I'm curious, I and a lot of other people are into the airway community, and we're trying to figure out how to help children. And recognize the problems they're having in childhood so that those problems don't follow them for the rest of their life. Because I
Yeah.
think they do follow us for the rest of our lives if we don't help children manage that at a young age.
Yeah.
So what, tell us about what you
So,
have done with your children or with children patients.
I mean, sadly, when my children were little, I was not following the Ayurvedic particularly. So that's the reason I said when my daughter was around 10 years old and she was diagnosed with some major hormonal imbalance and insulin resistance, which is why I got into Ayurveda. But otherwise, for my grandchildren, I guess I will be telling them what to do proper in an Ayurvedic way. So if we are able to introduce the Ayurvedic principles from their childhood, then it becomes very easy for them to handle one is stress in their lives as they go into high school, college, and then work. It's a combination of everything. So try to make them follow the Ayurvedic clock. Try to help them just eat the right food. Because since the childhood, if we are able to tell them not to, so a few things which I tell everyone, and it also naturally goes applies to the children, not to drink ice cold water, not to drink smoothies, not to have raw salads, because all these things will slow your metabolism. So if they are from beginning, they're able to incorporate these. And then of course, if to eat according to their doshas. So if initially it's also because Ayurveda not only helps in managing health problems, but also in maintaining the health. So for children, we can start incorporating all these principles so that they are able to maintain the health. So these are small things. Again, everything what we can do for adults, we can do for the children.
Good. Tell me about also, you mentioned several times not drinking cold water. Tell me about that. Other than the only thing I equate it to is cold water can stimulate the vagus nerve and cause some challenges for some people. But tell what else happens when you drink cold water?
So if I just see the Ayurveda from the Ayurvedic lens, so when I keep on saying digestive fire, right, that our digestive fire becomes slow. So that is the Ayurvedic terminology. So what cold water, if we just see the what does cold do? Anything cold constricts and warm expands. So we don't want any of our subtle channels or channels to constrict. We want them to be free flowing. So the
Yeah.
warm water is one, it's going to do that, no constriction. Second is our gut is, it's a warm climate inside. There's a warmth inside your mucus lining. It's just the word mucus. What is this alternative word for mucus? So I don't want to say slimy, but everything, there's nothing which is, if the mucus is not maintained, then it becomes dry, right? So the cold is go going to the hot water, not hot water, like room temperature water, is going to maintain the mucus lining. It's going to maintain the flow of the intestine because there's a peristalsis happening. So what we want to do is eat and drink warm. So, and especially for food, it's warm cooked food so that we can maintain the gut's lining, which is warm, and the environment inside is warm. Yeah, that is what, and there has to be a nice airflow to it.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Simi, tell us how Ayurveda supports emotional balance.
Okay, so Ayurveda has, again, it's going to be a combination of a few things. One is when your mind is strong, you're able to handle the emotions of the life that throws challenges at you. So when you wake up in the morning, there's this particular time we call it Brahma Muhurat, which is at around 1.5 hours before sunrise. So that's the time when, if you are able to do meditation that time, even for like 5, 10 minutes, that brings the sattva in you. It calms your mind. It builds your, in other words, you can say that it builds your mental capability so that you can handle the stresses of the day. So the emotional overhaul that you experience throughout the day or in life, you're able to handle much better. So here it's going to be a combination of meditation, pranayama, which is breathing exercises we have. So when we have this strength from inside, then we are able to handle the emotional trauma that we experience. And then there are these therapies that we can incorporate into it, which is one is called Shirodhara, where we pour herbal oils on your forehead. So this is the Shirodhara equipment that we use, that where around 40 minutes we pour herbal oils. So what it does, it calms the brain. So again, the herbs, you know how when we do a massage, we start feeling very relaxed and be good. So, and there are studies which show that the good hormones, the happy hormones, are released when there's a massage done properly. So in the same way, when this Shirodhara is done, it calms the mind. So these three, four things one has to do, and then there's Ayurvedic counseling, just like when you go to a counselor. So where you have to, you can communicate with someone about your trauma. So all these combinations help us deal with the stresses of life and the trauma,
That's
emotional
great.
trauma.
Yeah, it's kind of mind, body, spirit treated as a whole.
Yes.
Are you offering a course or anything that our listeners could check out and possibly engage into?
Not as right now, so maybe in a couple of months, but right now I'm working on these YouTube very elaborate videos where just like the Ayurvedic clock is mentioned properly, then all the five senses, how to go about it, how to do these therapies. So all those are given, which is kind of like a mini course that they can do. They can watch that.
Oh, that is, now is that on your YouTube channel or on your website or?
On my YouTube channel.
Okay. What is your YouTube channel? Is it your name?
No, it's Sid Ayur, basically my company's name, SIDHAYUR, Sid Ayur.
Do you have a clinic where you take care of people
Yes.
or?
Yes. So my office is on in Manhattan, so I see my clients there for consultation, which is an hour long. And then even the therapies that are I do for them, depending on what they need. So if it's stress management they come for, then besides the consultation where I guide them with the diet and lifestyle change, then I set, give them the herbal protocol where it's catered to their mind, but the gut is always involved. So the gut is always there. Some recommendations for that, and then the therapies would include like the Shirodhara. Then, if people are coming for pain management, again, the therapies are part of it. It's like a whole package where there are these, again, besides the diet, lifestyle, and herbs, these are external oil therapies where I don't know if you have seen these boluses we make where it has either dry herbs in it or fresh herbs. And then we dip them in either oil, herbal oils, or herbal decoctions. And then let's say a person has a frozen shoulder. So they are these, again, special herbs specific for that problem. And then we'll kind of massage with that bolus. And it opens the channels and it removes the toxins. So it works beautifully when they are taking in the they're following the protocol as well as doing these external therapies. So yes, I do all those therapies as well as the consultation at my work at my clinic.
Terrific. There's a need nowadays for what you do. So I want to thank you for being here and sharing with not only what you do, but who you've decided to be for your patients and what you're bringing to them. That is so important. And I'd just like to give you one final little invitation. What message of healing would you like to send into my heart and the heart of our listeners today?
So not to fear health, empower yourself just by following Ayurvedic principles, Ayurvedic clock. So, and just be mindful of your body. Your body is always giving you signals. So what is balance, what is imbalance? So be in tune with your body, and there's nothing to fear.
Yes, and listen, we're sometimes not very good listeners during stressful times, are we?
Yes, totally. So if you train yourself daily, then at the stressful times, you'll be able to automatically know what's happening.
Perfect. Well,
Yes.
thank you so much. This has been Health Lifelines with Dr. Simi Chopra, and it's been a pleasure having you here. And thank you for all you brought to us. And I would encourage you all that are listening to reach out to her, listen to her messages that she has on her YouTube channel, and even connect with her at her office and clinic in New York. Thank you so much for being
Thank you,
here.
Chris. Thank you, Chris, for having me over. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. That's it for today's episode of Health Lifelines, brought to you by the Lifeguard Approach. I hope you found inspiration and actionable insights to support you and your patients' journeys towards better health and more fulfilling lives. Remember, every small step you take today builds the foundation for a healthier tomorrow. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast with someone who could benefit from it. Your support helps us reach more listeners and grow this community of health-conscious individuals and dental professionals focused on becoming lifeguards for their patients. For more tips, tools, and resources from the Lifeguard Approach, visit us online at thelifeguardapproach.com. Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn at The Lifeguard Approach. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, stay informed, stay inspired, and keep showing up as a lifeguard for your patients at every single appointment.